This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Three Mages and a Margarita by Annette Marie, narrated by Chris Dukart. Chapter 1. Keeping a job involves a few simple rules. Arrive on time, work hard, and don't assault customers. I forced a polite smile as the woman at table 6 snapped her thick fingers, even though I was already hurrying toward her, a tray of drinks weighing down my arm. She jabbed fuchsia claws at her meal. "My pasta has no meat," she declared in the tones of an offended Victorian governess. I looked at her plate. The pasta did, in fact, display a shocking lack of poultry, considering it had arrived at her table with an entire grilled chicken breast. I knew because I'd seen the busboy carrying it. Streaks of creamy sauce smeared the plate's edge. I looked at her table mate's meal. "Oh, hey, more Alfredo. And wow, that was a mighty big pile of grilled chicken sitting on top, which the other woman was eating at maximum speed as though she could make it disappear before my poor waitress brain calculated the disparate mass. This is unacceptable." The woman waved a hand to draw my attention away from the suspicious heap of meat. "I hope you don't expect me to pay for a meal that's missing the main ingredient." Shifting the heavy weight of my tray, I gazed at her wordlessly, then turned the same stare on her co-conspirator. Did they really think I'd never seen this scam before? When they started to squirm, I refocused on the chickenless woman and smiled brightly. "What was the problem again, ma'am?"
My meal has no chicken."
I tisked playfully, like we were all in on the joke, and winked at the other woman. "Your friend must have a lightning-fast fork, then. You didn't even see her swiping the chicken off your plate." Forcing a laugh, I stepped back, the three Cokes, two beers, and iced tea wobbling on my tray. Six thirsty customers only a table away watched me with begging eyes, and I could practically see my tip shrinking the longer they waited. The chickenless woman gawked at me, rusty gears turning behind her close-set eyes. I'd called out her stupid lie and given her an easy escape. All she had to do was shut up and steal some protein back before her friend ate it all. No free meals for her today. But instead, she swelled like a bullfrog and pointed a pink claw at my chest.
"What are you implying?"
Her voice rose, cutting through the cheerful babble of the busy cafe.
"I told you, my meal arrived without any chicken. Are you calling me a liar?"
"Why, yes, I was. I must have misunderstood," I said soothingly, lowering my voice as though that would cancel out her increased volume. "I assumed you were joking because your chicken was obviously dumped onto your friend's plate."
"How dare you?"
Okay, I probably shouldn't have said that. "I'd be happy to have the kitchen grill up another chicken breast for you at no charge."
"I'm not paying for this meal. After your rudeness, we're not paying for anything."
"I see. In that case, I'll have to fetch my manager." With my free hand, I pulled the chicken extravaganza out from under the other woman's fork.
"What are you doing?"
she demanded. "She said you weren't paying for anything, so I'm..."
"I'm not finished with that."
"Are you planning to pay for it?" Fork still poised in the air, she looked at her furious companion. More spinning gears. These two women probably hadn't thought this hard since kindergarten.
"Put that plate back," the first woman barked, "and get your manager over here, immediately."
I returned her meal, my drink tray wobbling again. The imaginary tip counter hovering above the thirsty table was now in negative numbers. I'd be paying them for their drinks. "I'll send a manager," I muttered as I turned away. "Don't pig out on your free meals."
"Did you just call me a pig?"
The offended shriek silenced every conversation in the cafe. Oh, hell. Grimacing, I swung back to face the woman. "You must have misheard."
"I didn't mishear anything,"
she straight up screamed.
"You called me a pig. Where is your manager?"
I glanced across the tables, the dinner rush halted by the spectacle. No managers in sight, but at my panicked look, another server zipped into the kitchen.
We're leaving. I won't pay to be mocked and insulted."
The woman shoved to her feet,
frothing at the mouth with vindicated rage.
Her companion shoveled one last mouthful of chicken down her gullet before scrambling up.
If you could just wait one moment. I tried again. A manager will... Out of my way!
Her fat hand shot out and shoved my drink tray. It flipped up, dumping all six beverages onto my chest. Liquid drenched my white blouse and glassware shattered on the floor, spraying shards over my legs as ice cubes skittered under tables. Anyone who's known me for more than an hour has an inkling of my temper. And by inkling, I mean I might as well wear a flashing sign that reads, "Firecracker Redhead, beware." Or, if you're my ex-boyfriend, it reads, "Don't stick it in, crazy gingers." I try my best, okay? I keep my mouth shut, I smile real polite, and I let the managers give free meals to every scamming asshole because the customer is always right, or whatever. But sometimes I react before I think. Which is why, as ice-cold liquid gushed down my front, I whipped my dripping tray right into the woman's smirking face. The plastic hit the side of her head with a shocking crack, and she stumbled backward, then fell on her well-padded butt. Her mouth hung open, eyes bugged out, Coke and beer and a hint of iced tea speckling her cheek. If the restaurant had been quiet before, now it was silent enough to be a new dimension. "She pushed me first," I announced, my voice echoing in the silence. "You all saw that, right?" At my thirsty table, a middle-aged couple gave small, hesitant nods, and one guy grinned, shooting me a thumbs up. I could feel 100 eyes on me as my blouse and apron dripping, I reached over the woman and picked up the 2 Alfredo plates, stacking them on my empty tray. The woman stared vacantly, but I knew better than to think I'd literally tray-slapped some sense into her. Once her shock wore off, she would start howling. Or wailing. 50-50 chance. "I didn't call you a pig," I told her. "But I should have called you a liar. You lied about your meal, then you assaulted me. I'm going to have to ask you to leave." Her face purpled, eyes bulging even more. "On the plus side," I added cheerfully, "you're getting your food for free, just like you wanted. Have a nice day, and please never come again." With the 2 Alfredo plates on my tray, I waltzed past her, ignoring the ice cube lodged in my cleavage. Whispers erupted at every table as I counted in my head. I got to 3 before the noise erupted. Wailing. I knew it. A manager flew out of the kitchen and her glare blazed hot enough to grill some chicken all on its own. Wincing, I ducked through the doors into the back. The moment I appeared, the 2 line cooks whooped.
"Right in the face!"
Neil laughed, waving a spatula at the door's small window where he'd no doubt plastered his nose as soon as the shouting began.
"Wow, Dory, are you insane?"
"Why do people always ask me that?"
I muttered as I set the tray down on the counter and checked my bare legs and sandaled feet for glass shards.
"I can't believe you."
"Tori."
I flinched. The cafe owner stood at the end of the kitchen, her arms folded and her expression as black as her coffee. My innards melted with dread, but I straightened my shoulders and strode confidently toward her. In the dining area, the chickenless wonder had switched from wails to shrieks. "Mrs. Blanchard, I can explain. Did you hit a customer?"
"She pushed me first."
Blanchard nudged her wire-rimmed glasses up and pinched the bridge of her nose.
"Tori, I've told you more than once that if a customer is antagonizing you, fetch a manager."
"I was trying to, but she..."
"I warned you. Last week, after you called one of our regulars a half-plucked buzzard, to her face,
she kept calling me anorexic every time I walked by."
"I warned you,"
Blanchard repeated, speaking over my protests,
"that you were on your final chance. You're a hard worker, and I've done everything I can to accommodate your issues. But I can't employ a server who attacks customers."
"Customer," I corrected in a dejected mumble. "Only one. I won't do it again, I promise."
"I'm sorry, Tori." "Mrs. Blanchard, I really need this job. Please, give me one more chance."
She shook her head. "Leave your apron. You can pick up your last check on payday."
"Mrs. Blanchard!"
"I need to help settle things down in the dining area." She stepped around me. "Please use the back door on your way out." As she walked away, my shoulders slumped. The noise had quieted, meaning the manager had probably offered all kinds of apologies and gift cards to the poor, assaulted woman. I tried not to imagine the look on Chicken Lady's face when she learned the crazy server had been canned.
"Aw, man,"
Neil said glumly, joining me beside the dishwasher.
"Sorry, Tori. Sucks that she fired you."
"Well," I said heavily, "I'm not really surprised." I untied my apron, then fished the half-melted ice cube out of my blouse and flicked it into the sink.
Tori, your, bra is showing.
Yeah, that happens. Ever hear of a wet t-shirt contest? I scowled. That wasn't an invitation to stare. He jerked his eyes up.
Aren't you supposed to wear white bras with white shirts?
Are you a fashion expert now? I didn't admit he was right, or explain that my white shirt-friendly undergarments were in the laundry. Neither did I glance down to see how visible my pink bra with little black hearts was. I didn't want to know. After digging my tips out of my apron, a measly $22 since I'd only been an hour into my shift, I handed the drenched fabric to Neil.
"Well, guess I'll see you around." Yeah, stop by and visit, okay?"
"Will do." I lied, like I could ever come back here after clobbering a woman with a drink tray. With a half-hearted wave, I stopped in the break room to grab my purse and umbrella, then exited through the back door as instructed. Rain pattered the asphalt, making the muddy puddles dance. Skirting the reeking dumpster, I followed a narrow alley to the main street. Chipper music rolled out of the cafe as a couple entered. The brightly lit windows were warm and inviting, and everything looked back to normal as a server stopped at a table to unload steaming plates for eager customers. The cool rain peppered my face and diluted the ugly brownish splotch on my chest, but I didn't open my umbrella. If my pink bra was on display, then I was committing to the show, damn it. Wet shirt all the way. Turning on my heel, I marched down the sidewalk. It was a long walk home, but at least it would delay the inevitable moment when I'd have to inform my landlord I'd lost my job. Again. Chapter 2. Unlocking the apartment door, I poked my head inside. "Justin?" No answer. Heaving a sigh of relief, I locked the bolt, shoved my purse into the closet, and kicked my sandals onto the mat to dry. My bare feet squeaked on the linoleum as I walked down the short hall into the main room, a cramped kitchen overlooking it. The drooping blue sofa had seen better days, and carefully folded bed sheets and a blanket sat on one end. Piled in front of the window were four battered cardboard boxes that contained all my worldly possessions. Grabbing the overflowing laundry basket off the top of the pile, I carried it to the narrow closet where the stacked washer and dryer hid. As I loaded my laundry in, I mentally reviewed my bank account. Would my last paycheck cover the rent? Maybe, if I didn't eat for the rest of the month. Washer loaded, I stripped off my work clothes and tossed them in, then started it up. Returning to the boxes, I selected my last clean bra, hot red with lacy embellishments, normally reserved for special occasions, then dragged out a pair of yoga pants and pulled them on. As I lifted out a top, the clack of the bolt echoed down the hall. Yelping, I yanked the shirt down, barely getting it in place before a male head poked out from the hall, eyebrows high in surprise.
"Tori, you're home early."
"Hi, Justin." I managed to smile. "How was work?" He was still in uniform, dark blue slacks and a button-down shirt emblazoned with a police emblem on the shoulder. Normally, I loved a man in uniform, but I could only appreciate it so much on Justin. Not that he wasn't handsome with his hazel eyes and close-cropped brown hair. It's just, you know, he's my roommate. And my landlord. And my older brother.
"Tiring," he admitted. "I hate the early morning shift. But I have my fingers crossed for that promotion."
"I'm sure you'll get it." He unbuttoned his uniform, stripping down to the plain black t-shirt he wore underneath.
"What happened at work? Your top's on backward, by the way."
I looked down. Crap, it was.
"How come you're home so early? Are you sick?"
"No," I muttered, tugging at my ponytail.
"Tori," He groaned. Not again? You got fired, didn't you?
I nodded. He puffed out a breath.
What happened this time?
I told him the story through his bedroom door as he changed clothes. While talking, I pulled my arms into the baggy striped T-shirt and turned it the right way around. Justin reappeared, his scowl made more severe by the short beard he'd grown at my suggestion. It had been a great call. He looked way more policeman tough now.
She shoved you and spilled all your drinks? They should have thrown her out.
They might have, if I hadn't whacked her upside the head. He sat on a tall stool in front of the kitchen counter that acted as our dining table.
How do you do it, Tori? If there's a crazy customer within 10 miles, they always end up in your section.
Maybe I bring out the crazy in people. I flopped onto the sofa. Maybe it's magic. He rolled his eyes. Or aliens, I suggested.
Or magic aliens.
He snorted but didn't argue with me. No matter how often he refused to engage in the topic, I would keep ragging on him until he got his head on straight. I couldn't believe my own brother had become a magic conspiracy theorist. I'd believe in aliens first. I'm sorry, Justin. I said more seriously. I'll get another job, ASAP, so I don't miss any rent payments.
I've told you every month since you moved in that you don't need to pay rent. I'm happy to have the company.
Living downtown is expensive as hell. I didn't add that my presence here over the last 8 months was preventing his steady girlfriend from moving in with him. Plus, he was putting up with all my crap cluttering his one-bedroom suite.
Cheer up, Tori. You found a new job after each...
He trailed off, maybe realizing that pointing out how I'd blown 6 jobs in 8 months wasn't encouraging.
You'll find another one in no time.
Yeah, I agreed listlessly. He glanced into the spotless kitchen, my small contribution to the household that I held to like a Lysol-worshipping nun, then threw me a grin.
Let's order in tonight.
I should save my money since...
My treat.
He grabbed his phone off the counter.
The usual?
Sure, I agreed guiltily. I would extra clean the bathroom tomorrow to make up for it. He'd be able to eat out of the sink if he wanted. While he called in the order, I unearthed my laptop from beneath a stack of socks waiting to be folded. Settling onto the sofa, I flipped it open and fired up my browser. Unsurprisingly, I had the job posting website bookmarked. I'd lost my job, but might have another one within a week, even if I had to sell my soul to get it. Pausing in front of the display window, I took a deep breath and smiled at my reflection. Smile, relax. Smile, relax. I needed to appear perky and confident, not bedraggled and exhausted. My hazel eyes, identical to Justin's, looked dark as coal, but the dusty glass couldn't dull the vibrant red of my hair. I scrunched my ponytail with one hand to revive the curls, but it was hopeless. I stepped back from the window and squinted at the sky. Bright sunlight sparkled merrily, and the breeze carried the salty tang of the ocean only a few blocks north. People strolled up and down the charming red brick sidewalks, passing old-fashioned street lamps and storefronts nestled in tall Victorian-style buildings. Gastown was the oldest neighborhood in the city, a popular tourist destination full of cafes and restaurants. Across the red brick intersection was one such cafe. The yellow patio umbrellas resembled a garden of monster-sized flowers, and servers in cute periwinkle blouses bustled among the tables. The place was packed even though it was only 4 o'clock, too early for the dinner rush, but no one had told this cafe that. Busy was good. Busy meant lots of staff. I practiced my smile one more time, then crossed the street and entered the air-conditioned interior. Hi, I greeted the hostess brightly. Is your hiring manager in today?
Yeah, the girl replied in a bored drone. I already called her. You can wait there, with the others.
She pointed. 2 girls my age, dressed in chic business casual attire, stood off to the side, holding folders just like mine. Their resumes probably weren't full of 1- and 2-month server stints, with no references to show for any of them. God damn it. I joined the girls anyway, And when the stocky middle-aged manager finally appeared, looking overheated and unfriendly, I patiently waited my turn. "Thank you so much for seeing me," I said once the other girls had left. "I can see you're busy, and I won't keep you. I just wanted to drop off my resume." I passed her the single sheet, which she skimmed without enthusiasm. "We do have an opening, and if we're interested, we'll..." She squinted. "Winnie's Cafe? That was your last employer?" My stomach twisted. "Yes, that's correct." "Tori Dawson," she murmured as though digging through her memory banks. She dropped her arm, my resume hanging at her side. "I'm sorry, I don't have a position for you."
"But you just said..."
The manager glanced distractedly into the cafe before focusing on me again. "Look, hun, maybe you should try a different industry. I don't think hospitality is for you."
"What are you talking about?"
She shrugged. "You've got a reputation. Unless they're living under a rock, no restaurant manager in downtown will hire you." I wilted.
"Really?
Maybe you'd do better in retail." She handed my resume back. "Shipping receiving might suit you."
"But I'm bad at retail, too."
I finished under my breath since she'd already walked away. Stuffing the paper back in my folder, I trudged back to the street. Passerby jostled me and I ducked into a shady spot beside a brick wall, staring blankly at the cute shops across the road. Most retail jobs were too slow-paced for me. Bored Tori got herself into a lot more trouble than busy Tori. Another hard-earned lesson. If no one in downtown would hire me as a server, what would I do? Either I ventured out of downtown, which would require an expensive transit pass and long commutes, or I applied for a starter position in something completely new. But with no experience or tips, the pay would be too shitty for me to ever afford a decent place of my own. I'd be stuck on Justin's couch for another 8 months. That or I'd have to quit college once the semester was over. Groaning, I massaged my temples. No giving up. I'd apply the last few places on my list and hope their managers were the rare rock-dwelling types, then head home and come up with a new game plan. I would figure this out. As I stepped away from the wall, the cool sea breeze gusted down the street, carrying a swirl of dust, leaves, and litter. Skirts flew up and cafe umbrellas tottered precariously, and a sheet of paper hit me square in the face. Swearing, I snatched the paper off my nose and examined it in case my skin required sanitation from the contact. I was about to toss it away. I know, littering is bad, when I recognized the layout of the text. It wasn't difficult. I'd been staring at job postings all week. Maybe one of the prim and perfect applicants from the cafe had dropped it. Fat chance I'd land a job anywhere they had applied. But I still scanned the paper. Only three listings graced the page. The first was an entry-level bank teller position in the heart of downtown. I was many things, but quiet was not one of them. And every bank I'd ever set foot in had been silent as a cemetery at midnight. The second position was for a receptionist at a law firm. Were law firms quiet? I'd never been in one. Kind of surprising no one has sued me yet, come to think of it. But I was sure they fell in the same quiet, dignified, stick-up-their-asses category as banks. So, also no. I squinted at the third one. Bartender. I didn't have much experience, but I'd manned the bar a few times at various restaurants. And bartenders, unlike servers, had more freedom to tell rude customers to shove their bad attitudes where the sun don't shine. But the address. Turning eastward, I gulped. The place was firmly situated in the downtown east side, a large neighborhood that half the city was too terrified to set foot in. Pulling my phone out of my purse, I looked up the address. Okay. So it was on the west edge of the downtown east side. Not as bad as I thought. In fact, it was barely 6 blocks away, though outside the safe charm of Gastown. Maybe far enough away that they wouldn't have heard about Tori Dawson, the server of doom and despair. It was worth a shot. And as the saying around here goes, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Feeling hopeful, I stuffed the paper into my purse, tucked my folder under one arm, and strode east. Just follow the red brick road. Disappointingly, the red bricks ended after a quarter block, but the 3- and 4-story buildings with cute shops continued to border the street. Just when I was starting to feel pretty good about things, I passed a shop front with empty windows. Then another. Within a block, the doors were blank and the windows covered. The number of pedestrians dwindled to a handful, and they walked quickly. Chin held high, I lengthened my stride, my strappy but comfortable sandals slapping against the sidewalk. Could I run in these if I had to? Probably. Fear was a great motivator. I wasn't scared yet, but as I hurried past a heavy-duty chain-link fence with barbed wire on top, I started to doubt myself. Maybe I should go back. What shops there were had thick bars over the windows. Even if I was safe enough in broad daylight, what about late night shifts? Assuming I got the job. I replayed the cafe manager's declaration in my mind. No restaurant manager in downtown will hire you. Screw that. If I needed to carry pepper spray to and from work, then so be it. Increasing my pace, I strode toward the next intersection. I had to be close, but all I saw was a bike shop called Bikes and a tattoo parlor with bars across the windows and the door. Pulling out my phone, I checked the map again, then rounded the corner, walked 20 yards up the street, and stopped. A black door stood in front of me, tucked into a shadowy nook with no overhead light. Faded print in ye olde English lettering declared, "The Crow and Hammer." Painted beneath was a black bird with its wings spread ominously, perched on an ornate mallet. The cube-shaped building featured barred windows on the 2nd and 3rd floors. Its northern neighbor was a shorter building with boarded-up windows and construction tape across the doorway. On the other side was a cramped parking lot, with a dumpster and 2 cars. My gaze returned to the painted crow with its flared wings. Breathe in, breathe out. Okay, I could do this. Stepping into the shadowed alcove, I reached for the door. Chapter 3. Before my fingers touched the peeling paint, an overwhelming urge to turn around washed over me like a bucket of ice water. I didn't want to be here. The need to walk away, or better yet, run away, roiled through me like a physical sickness. I wanted to be anywhere but here, and if I didn't retreat now, I would... what? Get eaten by a boogeyman on the other side of the door? Damn, since when was I such a chicken? Teeth gritted, I grabbed the handle and yanked the door open. My bad case of nerves passed the moment I stepped inside, but honestly, the interior wasn't any more reassuring than the exterior. Heavy beams in the ceiling, wood finishes, and dim lights gave it that dark English pub feel, and it was much smaller than it appeared from the outside, with enough tables and bar stools to seat maybe 50 people. The chairs were cast around like a stampede had charged through the front door, and though it was cleanish, a strange smoky smell hung over the place. Not cigarettes, not drugs, not wood smoke, but something. Oh, and did I mention the place was completely empty? It was early for the dinner rush, but empty was not a good sign for any business. Since I was too tough or too stubborn to sneak back outside and pretend I'd never set foot here, I soldiered onward. The door wasn't locked, so that meant they were open, right? Winding around the scattered chairs, I approached the bar at the back. Centered on the wall was a massive steel war hammer, the metal nicked and tarnished, the wooden handle dark. I eyed it warily, hoping it was firmly anchored in place. Setting my folder on the thick wood bar top, I tried to peek through the gaps in the saloon doors behind it. "Hello?" A muffled voice answered from somewhere beyond the saloon doors. So someone was here. Someone who was busy, apparently. I waited, shifting from foot to foot. Since I was still standing there, I nudged the nearest bar stool under the lip of the bar. Then I reached over and tucked the next one into place. And since I'd done that, I fixed the other ones, too. Much better. With a peek at the saloon doors, I straightened the nearest table. What a mess. The doors swung open and a woman half fell out of the room beyond. Short, plump, and maybe 10 years older than me, with dark hair twisted into a messy bun and bangs that were streaked with blue and red. Clutching a stack of folders so thick they threatened to disgorge paperwork, the woman looked around wildly before spotting me.
Who are you?
She blurted. Was that how she greeted all their customers? No wonder the place was empty. I hitched my professional smile into place and grabbed my folder. Hi, my name is Tori Dawson. I'm here about your bartending job opportunity.
You are?
She dumped her papers onto the bar top and gave me a frowning once-over.
Walk-ins aren't usually how we...
Could I leave my resume with you? I asked, flipping open my folder.
Clara!
Someone shouted from the back.
Where'd you go? Oi!
The glint of near panic in the woman's eyes intensified.
Yes, yes, she told me. Just leave it. I really need someone, but I don't have time to look at anything right now. Tomorrow.
Clara!
Coming!
She shouted over her shoulder.
I'm sorry, Tracy, was it?
Tori.
I'm swamped. People are arriving in less than an hour, and the freezer broke last night, and Cooper called in sick again.
A loud crash from the back interrupted her, followed by a man's furious cursing.
Oh, God, what now?
She dashed back through the doors, leaving her paperwork. I winced sympathetically. I'd been in her shoes before. Understaffed, everything going wrong, and what sounded like an event planned for the night. As I laid my resume on top of her folders, noises echoed out of the back. Loud clatters and frantic conversation between Clara and the man. I studied the mess. Half the chairs were lying on their sides for crying out loud. Giving a mental shrug, I straightened the tables and picked up the chairs. In 10 minutes, I had the front of the house tidied up and ready to go. Nodding to myself, I returned to the bar and grabbed my resumes. Clara reappeared, reaching for her folders. When she saw me, she jerked to a stop, brow furrowing in confusion. I pursed my lips. Awkward. I'd meant to be gone by the time she came back. Eyes wide, she stared at the restored order.
You...
Just helping out, I explained hastily. I'm on my way now. Good luck with your event tonight.
Thanks,
she mumbled. I turned away, making a face at the cringiness, and hurried for the door.
Wait!
Clara sped around the bar, my resume in her hand.
Do you have bartending experience, Tori?
Not much, I admitted as she joined me. But I know my way around a bar. I learn fast, and I work hard. Clara nodded as she scanned my resume.
You have no references.
Yeah.
Are you busy tonight?
I blinked.
Tonight? I know it's unorthodox.
Her words tumbled together as she rushed to get them out. But I'm slammed already and we'll have a full house by 6. If you can work a shift, I'll pay you in cash at the end of the night, same wage as my last bartender.
I brightened. A paid shift and a chance to prove myself without having to do the whole interview thing?
Sure, I'd love to.
Clara deflated with relief. Wonderful. Let's get started.
She waved for me to follow her. Tonight's the monthly meeting and everyone'll be here. Ramsay and I'll handle all the food orders if you can take care of the liquor. I'll help you out as much as I can. Once everyone has a few drinks, it'll settle down. But 6 to 7 will be crazy.
She halted halfway around the bar. I'm Claire Martins, by the way. AGM.
Assistant General Manager? Finally some luck. I'd handed my resume to the second in charge. I shook her hand, then she led me into the back. Through the saloon doors was a cramped kitchen with stainless steel counters.
Ramsay?
She called out.
Get over here!
A tall guy wheeled into the kitchen from the other end. Thin, lanky, with black hair buzzed short on one side and the rest falling in spiky locks below his jawline. Chains hung around his neck, and he was wearing more eyeliner than I was.
Ramsay, this is Tori. She's interested in the bartender job, so I'm having her help out tonight.
Ramsay's mouth twisted.
Is that even allowed?
We really need the extra pair of hands,
Clara interrupted, and we can see how she meshes with the gang.
She didn't mean gang literally, did she?
Suppose,
Ramsay agreed uncertainly. He gave me a look as though measuring how breakable I was.
Welcome to the madhouse.
I didn't get a chance to consider all the possible meanings of his welcome before Clara pulled me into motion. She gave me a top-speed tour of the kitchen, walk-in fridge, malfunctioning freezer, ice machine, and storage areas. Aside from a cluttered office, that was it. Not even a break room. 10 minutes later, I was standing behind the bar with an apron in my hands as Clara zoomed off. Ramsay was prepping food in the kitchen, so I was officially on my own. I tied the apron around my waist, overlapping the bottom of my white blouse and slim knee-length skirt. Good thing I'd worn my comfy sandals. I shot a quick text to Justin, letting him know I'd be home late. Then got to work. First, I wiped down every surface in, around, and behind the bar. I located and laid out the drip mats, then hauled a bucket of ice from the back and dumped it into the well. I checked the liquor bottles in the well, tested the soda guns, and located all the basics in the walk-in and dry storage. With a few pointers from Ramsay, I found the garnish supplies and prepped lemons, limes, olives, mint, and parsley. I couldn't find any garnish trays, so I stuffed them in highball glasses. As I was lining them up in the well, Clara rushed in. Was she ever not rushing? Oh, good. You're ready, then. She started tapping the touchscreen on the till. Everything is on the house tonight, so all you have to do is log what you take. I hid my disappointment. Free drinks meant no tips. What's your policy on carding? Oh, you don't need to check IDs. We only serve members. Clara rubbed her hands together nervously, her eyebrows scrunching. When it comes to new people, they can be... But you'll be fine. Don't let them give you any crap. And I'll be nearby if you have trouble. Just call me if you need help. Trouble? Maybe she had heard of my reputation after all. I plastered on a confident smile. No hesitation. Not when this trial run could win me the job. Clara returned my smile with one that was more anxious than pleased, then dashed into the kitchen calling for Ramsay. I rubbed my deep palms on my apron. Setting up the bar was easy. It was the rest I didn't have much experience with. Nerves twisting, I pulled up a web page of drink recipes on my phone. The big clock on the wall ticked over to 5:30. The place was still dead. I appraised the tables and dark walls. How many people would they cram in here? A broad staircase in the corner led to the second level, but Clara hadn't mentioned it, so I guessed it didn't matter for my job tonight. The front door flew open and I jumped. 2 guys walked in. I relaxed. They had beards, but not biker gang beards. 1 guy was average. Dark hair, a touch of silver in his beard, mid-30s. And the other was stocky and buff, with the sides of his head shaved and his blonde hair combed straight back. Late 20s? I smiled welcomingly as they approached the bar, but they didn't respond in kind. Instead, they stared at me, like I was a 5'7" weed that had sprouted from between the floorboards. Hi, I chirped. What can I...
Who are you?
The older one asked sharply. My name is Tori. When their suspicion only increased, I added, I'm filling in tonight to help Clara. As though I'd spoken the code word, they both relaxed.
I'll have a whiskey sour. Bourbon on the rocks.
Right, I said breathlessly, grabbing 2 rocks glasses and adding ice. The bourbon was easy, but I overdid the whiskey in the second drink. Oh well, he was getting his non-money's worth. I passed them off, then added the 2 drinks into the system. When I looked up, the door was opening again. Another man, 40-ish, held the door open for a pair of guys in their 20s. The younger 2 made it to the bar first and...
Who are you?
What was it with these people? I wasn't a damn trespasser. They were more territorial than teenagers in a Wi-Fi hotspot. I'm filling in tonight to help Clara, I answered, testing my new magic phrase. Again, they lost their antagonism and ordered drinks. Easy ones, thank goodness. The older guy even smiled when I passed him his old-fashioned. I hadn't even finished adding their drinks to the tally before the next group arrived. 3 girls in their early 20s, all very different blondes. One with pale hair and a wavy bob, one with long golden locks, and one with her shoulder-length hair dyed a hideous banana yellow. Again, I smiled, and again I got glared at until I assured them, via the magic phrase, that my repulsive presence in their precious pub was only temporary. Two ordered sodas, but Banana Hair wanted a Long Island iced tea that took several minutes too long to make. By the time I passed it off to her, another 10 people had gathered behind the girls, all squinting suspiciously at me. I gulped down my nerves and offered the magic phrase again. I didn't whimper, I swear. The patrons I'd already served made perfect sense to me. Youngish, single-ish, bar-going types. But now I was stumped. Young, old, classy, weird, goth, hippie. A full spectrum of stereotypes was gathering in the pub, and none belonged in the same room together. Before I got completely overwhelmed, Clara burst out of the kitchen and people shifted over to order food from her. I scrambled to make their drinks, fumbling liquor bottles and forgetting garnishes. For every smile I offered, I got stony stares and scowls in response. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? The stupid question kept coming, and I quit smiling. As the clock hit 6 and half the tables were full, I ducked into the back to get more ice, panting for air, strands of hair sticking to my face. My nerves were long gone, replaced by anger. Pissing people off was one of my God-given talents, but even I had never met such a universally hostile group of people in my life. I stomped to the ice machine and filled my bucket, barely acknowledging Ramsay slaving over the grill, the deep fryer sizzling. Bucket filled, I shoved through the saloon doors. Clara rushed past me into the kitchen to give Ramsay the next wave of orders. More customers had gathered at the bar. I dumped the ice into the well and faced them. The three guys were a few years older than me, tall, fit, and handsome. Under different circumstances, I would have flirted hardcore and written my number on their receipt. But instead, I had to contain my grimace as I waited for the question.
"Heard there's a new girl,"
the centermost guy said in a pleasantly deep voice, his blue eyes flashing with humor. Like me, he was a full-blown ginger, though his tousled locks were more into rusty orange shades.
"I see the rumors are true."
I thought he might be my first friendly customer, when his buddy added,
"Fresh blood."
"What do you want?" The rudely barked demand slipped out before I could stop it. Crap. Deep breath, Story. Surprised by my tone, the redhead glanced at his pal, a dark-haired looker with an exotic cast to his features. The third guy was half turned away, waving at someone. The redhead offered his hand in greeting, giving me a smooth smile.
"Aaron Sinclair."
He was the first customer to introduce himself, which might have seemed like good manners, except his tone suggested I should recognize his name and commence fawning. Was he a local actor or something? I didn't recognize him. "Pleasure," I said flatly, not bothering to offer my name. No one here cared who I was. "Are you ordering a drink or what?" Damn it. That wasn't any less rude than the last thing I'd said. Unfazed, Aaron grinned like I'd challenged him to a duel. One he expected to win. But then the third guy turned to face the bar.
"3 rum and cokes,"
he said in a smooth voice that, believe it or not, was pleasant. But I almost didn't notice, too distracted by the white scar that ran down his face from his left temple to the hollow of his cheek, cutting across his eye. While his right eye was a warm chocolate brown, the damaged iris was eerily pale, as though the color had drained out, leaving only a dark pupil and outer rim. Recovering fast, I whipped out 3 rocks glasses, scooped ice into them, splashed in some rum, and topped them with Coke. They took their drinks, but instead of moving off to the tables like everyone else, they slipped onto the 3 nearest bar stools. Great, an audience. I ignored them as my next customer walked up and demanded to know who I was.
"So, new girl,"
Aaron said, distracting my count so I overpoured a vodka.
"Are you a natural redhead?"
"Are you a natural pain in the ass?" I shot back without thinking. Cursing my runaway mouth, I shoved the accidental double at the customer.
"Confirmation. Via temper,"
the dark-haired one remarked. Ignoring them even harder, I focused on the next wave of arrivals. They were still coming. There had to be over 30 people in here now, and the original wave was finishing their drinks and coming up for seconds. Clara zoomed in and out, her arms full of plates. The more I rushed, the more mistakes I made, and my frustration kept climbing.
"Hey, new girl,"
Aaron called as I rocketed past him with a bottle of champagne for a mimosa.
What do you call it when a ginger goes off the deep end?
I added orange juice to the mimosa.
A ginger snap. Get it? I've got a better one for you, Aaron.
His dark-haired co-pilot said.
What's the difference between a ginger and a brick?
Aaron twisted his mouth suspiciously.
What? A brick gets laid.
As Aaron snorted dismissively and the scarred guy snickered, I dashed into the back, searching for a brandy I'd never heard of, which my current customer was insisting he always ordered. I dug around in the storage room, finally found it, then raced back out again.
Hey, new girl!
Aaron began again as the impatient brandy connoisseur stormed off with his stupid drink.
We've got a wager going on. Care to settle it?
I'm busy. Hunching over the till, I tried to remember everything I'd poured in the last 10 minutes.
We just want to know what you are. I'm betting an alky.
My hand stuttered over the screen. I'd been expecting another lame ginger joke. He thought I was a what?
Psychic.
The other guy said. But I didn't know if he was talking to me or his pal. The one with the scar rolled his eyes and sipped his drink.
Come on, give us a hint.
Aaron cajoled. Could you hurry up? An older woman snapped at me. I'm waiting to order. I shifted away from the guys and hastily entered all the drinks I remembered making, then faced the woman. What can I... 2 Manhattans and make it snappy, girl. Her sneering tone was too much for me. Are you having a bad day? I shot back. Or are you always a hag? Aaron choked on his drink. I knew I was losing it, but my temper was pulsing and I couldn't remember the definition of self-control. Excuse me? The woman gasped. Please. It's an amazing word used by civilized people everywhere. You should try it sometime. Her mouth opened, then closed. I folded my arms and waited. 2 Manhattans, please. I slammed a pair of martini glasses onto the mats, then turned around to check my phone for the recipe. I needed to handle my temper whether these jerks were rude or not. At least I wasn't losing any tips. Aaron whistled.
That sounded great, Sylvia. You should practice manners more often.
Shut your mouth, Aaron, or I'll seal it shut. After skimming the drink instructions, I grabbed the whiskey and vermouth, one in each hand, and poured them. You're supposed to mix them with ice first. The woman barked. Forget it. Just give me 2 Cokes instead. I can... 2 Cokes! Snarling, I poured the drinks and shoved them across the bar. Don't choke on the ice. Bitch. Aaron laughed.
Wow, I think I might like the new girl.
I ignored him, my next customer already waiting. As I struggled with increasingly difficult orders and correspondingly crankier customers, Aaron and his pal kept up a steady commentary, interspersed with more ginger jokes, but at least they made fun of other patrons as much as me. Still, they were not helping. I doubted my hair color had anything to do with my short fuse, but either way, I was hitting my limit, and with each new dose of nasty thrown my way, my control slipped a little more. When a guy snapped at me to hurry, I shorted his vodka and told him I'd water down his drinks until he learned some manners. An old man leered at my boobs and asked if I could add something special to his drink. So I poured an ounce of bourbon and filled the rest of the highball glass with grenadine syrup. Sweet, I said with an overly girlish smile. Just like me. He scoffed at the glass.
Give me a real drink.
You got what you asked for.
But
next... He left the pink atrocity on the bar and stalked back to his table. Aaron cackled.
Hey, Kai, how do you start an argument with a ginger?
Say anything?
The dark-haired guy answered with a smirk.
You realize you're a ginger too, right? You're insulting yourself.
I shot them a furious glare. Why were they making my night worse? Why couldn't they move their sexy asses to a table? The fact they were hot just made me angrier. All that drool-worthy sex appeal wasted on jackasses. Well, maybe not this guard guy. He was possibly not a jackass. He hadn't said much, so I wasn't sure. The three of them looked like goddamn models, but each from a different magazine. Aaron, he might have just galloped across a meadow on horseback, lassoing wild cattle or beautiful women. He wasn't dressed like a cowboy, but he had the same ruggedness to him. and he had the muscles to back up that impression, with toned biceps and hard forearms displayed by his gray t-shirt. His buddy Kai could have walked right off a luxury car ad. The guy behind the wheel adjusting his sunglasses as he casually careened his sports car down a winding mountain road while the camera panned across his face. His tousled dark hair, fair skin, and exotic features could sell anything. The third guy was trickier. Ignoring the scar, he had amazing olive skin and rumpled dark brown curls, with a cultivated 5 o'clock shadow that scruffed up his jaw in the sexiest way possible. Handsome as hell, but not too striking. He was the kind of guy businesses use to advertise men's casual clothing. Wear our jeans, and you, average man, can also turn females into quivering masses of desire. Yup, they were hot shit. And in Aaron's case, totally knew it. New girl, he called the moment I had a free second to breathe. I need another drink. I angrily wiped up spilled grenadine. Refusing to serve him felt like letting him win. What do you want? He pondered for an overly long moment. I'll have a margarita, the slushy kind, with a cherry and a little umbrella on top. I glowered at him. A blended drink? Ugh. Whirling around, I unburied the blender and dumped in ice, then searched for margarita mixer. As more patrons lined up at the bar, I raced into the back, almost crashing into Ramsay on my way to dry storage. I rooted around the shelves, found a can, and hurried back to the bar. Add the ingredients, blend, test the consistency, blend again. Good enough. I dumped it into a margarita glass and shoved it at Aaron. He briefly inspected it. What about the cherry? I don't have any cherries. We always have cherries. I growled, then stomped back into the kitchen. In dry storage, I found the monster jar of candied cherries, carried the whole thing back to the bar, unscrewed the top, and pulled one out by the stem. I plopped it on top of the slushy drink and even stuck in a sprig of mint for good measure. Happy? What about the umbrella? Forget it. It's not a margarita without an umbrella. A dozen more unfriendly patrons were waiting to order drinks. I started to turn. I don't want it if it doesn't have an umbrella, Aaron declared. Get me... My vision went red. Whipping back to him, I grabbed the margarita I'd spent 5 precious minutes preparing and yelled, If you won't drink it, then you can wear it. And I flung the drink in his face. Chapter 4 I meant to throw the margarita at Aaron. My swing was a bit over-enthusiastic, and his two friends caught a face full of cold slush, too. All three guys recoiled as the entire room went silent, every person turning to stare. A glob of crushed ice slid down Aaron's face and plopped in his lap. Not cool, new girl. Not cool? I shouted, slamming my hands down on the bar top. I've been working my ass off without so much as a thank you from a single goddamn person, and you're jerking me around like a 5-year-old with no impulse control? If you so much as open your mouth again, I'll shove my soda gun down your throat and see if you can crack jokes while you drown. Shocked silence rang through the pub, just like at the cafe. Safe to say, I'd blown this interview by fire, but I didn't give a shit. I'd finish my shift because I'd said I would, and because I wanted my damn cash after all this crap. But I was never setting foot in here again. Everyone gawked. Then someone erupted in laughter. Aaron's other friend. With margarita splashed over his scarred face, he laughed so hard he wobbled on his stool.
I don't believe it, he gasped. A redhead with more fire than you, Aaron.
Chuckles ran through the pub as the laughter spread. Then conversations resumed like nothing had happened. I stood there, blinking stupidly as I waited for someone to throw me out for assaulting another customer. The scarred guy recovered from his fit of laughter.
Kai, you weren't recording that, were you? I wish. I'd already be uploading it. Huh.
Aaron grunted without opening his mouth. Maybe he was taking my threat seriously.
A lesson learned, my young Padawan.
The unexpected voice was so close that I jumped half a foot in the air. A man stood behind me like he'd popped out of the floor.
With chiseled features, intelligent eyes, salt and pepper hair, and a short beard, he exuded the calm authority of a person in charge, with capital letters. I inched back a step, eyeing him. Another handsome one, and though I wasn't normally into older guys, he was definitely yummy. But he was probably here to throw me out, which made him less yummy. I cringed when he turned to me, waiting for the scowl, the demand for an explanation, and the inevitable dismissal. Instead, he offered his hand.
"I'm Darius, the GM. Welcome to the Crow and Hammer."
Oh, I was getting my ass booted to the curb by the general manager himself. Lucky me. I took his hand, surprised by his warm, strong grip. "Tori Dawson. Nice to meet you."
"The pleasure is mine,"
he replied with a sparkle in his gray eyes.
"Thank you for your hard work tonight."
I waited for the inevitable, "but I'm afraid I must ask you to leave." He stretched his arm out and scooped Clara out of thin air, or more likely snatched her in mid-sprint out of the kitchen.
"Clara, we're almost ready to begin, and I think the bartender has earned a break. Are you up for serving drinks after our meeting, Tori?"
This conversation was not following my mental script. Yes?
"Excellent. Clara, set her up in the back for a break, and I'll serve the last few drinks here."
"Yes, sir." Clara grabbed my arm, and the next thing I knew, she'd steered me into the kitchen. "Ramsay, do you have an extra burger?"
"I already cooked one up for her."
Sweat shone on his forehead and his eyeliner had smudged. I wasn't the only one who'd worked my butt off.
"Hope you like all the fixings."
He passed me a plate with a loaded burger, melted cheese dripping down the thick sesame bun, and steaming fries dusted with seasonings. Clara pulled me into the cluttered office, and I waited with my plate as she unburied a corner of the desk.
"Get off your feet and relax," she told me. "The meeting will take about an hour, then I'll come get you."
Are you sure? I didn't...
Just relax for a bit."
She stepped backward through the doorway. "I need to get out there before they start. Help yourself to anything in the fridge to drink." Alone, I picked up a fry and nibbled on the end, burning my tongue. She and Darius must have been desperate if they were letting me finish my shift. Sinking onto the chair, I replayed the margarita toss in my head. The expression on Aaron's face had been priceless. I smirked at my burger. Job opportunity lost, but worth it. Who'd want to work here anyway? It was a pub of consummate jerks. Clara was sweet, I amended, and Darius seemed pleasant enough, though he was probably playing nice to keep me around for the after-meeting rush. As I ate, I pondered the mystery meeting they were hosting. Such a weird group of people. What could possibly unite them for a shared gathering? I bolted upright in my seat as I figured it out. Assholes Anonymous. This was a therapy group for mean people. Snickering, I relaxed again, wincing at the ache in my back. My feet hurt, and my formerly comfortable sandals had rubbed my pinky toes into blistered fireballs. How much longer would this shift last? If it went too long, I'd have a nervous wait at the bus stop. Burger and fries finished, simple but delicious, I ventured to the walk-in and grabbed an old-fashioned bottle of Coke. My dry throat, coated with remnant potato, stuck painfully as I twisted the top. What the hell? Who made soda bottles with real bottle caps? On the verge of death from dehydration, I searched for a bottle opener. Yeah, I could have gotten water, but I wanted the Coke, damn it. I'd earned it. The bottle even had trickles of condensation running down the glass, just like in the commercials. I could almost taste it. I'd left the bottle opener at my station. Popping out for a second to grab it wasn't a big deal, was it? I'd be quick. I crept to the saloon doors and cracked them open. The pub was quiet except for Darius's clear voice. Every single Assholes Anonymous member sat facing the wall where Darius stood with a few papers in his hands. Clara waited beside him, nodding along as he spoke. Everyone listened intently, like employees in a business meeting. Actually, scratch that. The atmosphere was more like a task force being briefed on a recent crime. Way more serious than any employee meeting I'd ever attended.
Darius held the attention of the 50 or so people with flawless confidence.
The amendment to the regulations on GM accountability will require a few changes behind the scenes, but I don't expect it to affect our day-to-day work.